good evening. My name is Anna, and I'm going to share my story of grace with you tonight. The first time I was asked to share on week 10, single sexuality, my first thought was really God. Since that time, God has been teaching me more about walking in grace and what that truly means. He has brought to life 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So tonight I'm standing here to tell you, is that my earring? My earring off. Tonight, I'm standing here to tell you about God's faithfulness, his relentless love for me, and his unbelievable patience with me as I stumble through life, how he has continued to mold me into the woman I was meant to be, and sometimes shoving me back to on track each time I get off. I grew up in church and am so thankful that God gave me my mother. Her unwavering faithfulness to follow Christ and trust him has never left me. The church she grew up in, and then I grew up in, was one based on works and fear. But God, through the years, has taught us both about his grace and love. My father, although a believer, was not one to attend my mother's church, and she would not go to his, so he never went. He was a silent and constant presence in my life, but not a spiritual leader in our home. I love my parents and thankful for all they taught me, but my image of God was not built on a loving God that I know today. I am thankful for my less than perfect, dysfunctional upbringing. It is because of this I turn to God. These things formed who I am today, and these very things have caused me to turn to God over and over. When all is well, I quickly feel self-sufficient and rely on my own knowledge. The foundation that I started with played a major role in my very rebellious teens, but I cannot blame it all on my upbringing. After all, I was born a sinner. Psalms 51:5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. At the age of 10, I became a Christian. I realized that I was lost and I needed Christ to save me. And I knew that he forgave me. I knew his love and forgiveness immediately and wanted to tell everyone. But I lacked the teaching and training one needs to grow in Christ. And I struggled as I entered my teens. I was easily pulled into sin. And after trying so hard to live a works-driven life of salvation, I felt there was no point in trying. I was pulled into some very bad crowds, and if I was not partying with friends, I was miserable. I found myself in some very bad situations, and today I know that I survived only because God's hand was on me and my mother prayed for me constantly. Although I turned once again to my Savior, the scars remained with me for years. When I met my husband at the early age of 17, I was following Christ, but was not ready for a relationship, not just because I was so young in age, but so young in my walk with Christ, and there was so much healing that still needed to be done. My immaturity was apparent in our relationship, and for me to feel accepted and loved by him, I felt I needed a physical relationship with him. Waiting did not seem like an option to me, and unfortunately, I convinced him as well. I don't know why, and I don't know how. I always seemed to be able to justify the sin in my life. I always told myself I was not hurting anyone. I was not committing adultery, and 2 consenting adults, what is the big deal? We married shortly after my 18th birthday. We were both Christians, active in our church, and involved in every way we could find, but no one ever knew of our sin before we married. My marriage of 14 years was, for the most part, a good one. We had 2 beautiful children. His career was growing, and we continued to serve in our church. The demise of our marriage was received with surprise by all. I don't know that I was as surprised as everyone else. I was surprised more that my husband was not who he said he was, but really neither was I. Don't get me wrong, I loved God and I was growing in him, and I would not have survived the breakup of my marriage had I not discovered God's loving grace for me, and that my works were not what saved me, but that it was Christ's finished work on the cross alone that saved me. Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I couldn't even take credit for realizing this, because it is by the Holy Spirit that I was even able to see and believe. Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? I'm thankful that I discovered divorce care after the divorce and was able to process so much of the things I was feeling. But unfortunately, my plan was to process it very quickly and get on with my life. I did heal from my divorce, but it was not just my divorce I needed healing for. I was still a walking and wounded child. I forgot that, So after my divorce, I got on with my life and everything was going great. I forgot, though, that it was God who carried me through all of it, loved me, provided for me and my children, and placed me in a church with loving people. I knew that sex outside of marriage was not God's best for my life. With that, I knew that sin was not called sin because it was something that God just put there so that he could control me. The things that God calls sin are actually an offense against him, but also very detrimental to me and often to those around me. But sometimes we still choose it. After being divorced a year and a half and doing everything right, I jumped into a relationship. It did not take me long to fall back into the same sin and justifying it by saying that I'm not hurting anyone else. So why should this be so bad? Sadly, I was using God's infinite grace as a license to continue sinning. Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And again in verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. And in verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Thankfully, God still loves me, even though I knew what his word said. I became that Sunday Christian, the one that goes to church, and during the week I look no different than everyone else. I know now that God has forgiven me, but I still struggle sometimes knowing the missed opportunity I had to share God's love and saving grace with the people he brought into my life. The relationship was on and off for 7 years and also went on several months after he married. The only thing that brought it to an end was me meeting someone else and marrying then 2 years later in 2005. When that marriage ended in 2009, I confess, I got back in touch with him and the relationship went on for over a year again. I justified something that seemed to not hurt anyone, and in the end it became something much worse than I thought I was capable of doing. Sin is like that. It takes on a life of its own. And it steals, kills, and destroys. At the time of my second divorce, I had not been in church in almost 5 years. I have a tendency to hide myself away. One of my favorite authors wrote a book, and in it he writes about hide-and-seek grown-up style, wanting to hide, needing to be sought, confused about being found. This was me. I was always playing hide-and-seek grown-up style. Not going to church was my way of hiding from other believers because the masquerade had become exhausting. In 2010, my daughter and her family were in Dallas visiting for a month and wanted to attend church during their stay. The church they found was Watermark, and we went together the month of October. I cried throughout every service as I was convicted of my sin and God freshly showed me his love. I kept going once they left, and shortly after went to Connecting Point. It was during Connecting Point that I made the decision to end the sinful relationship, repent and turn and commit my life to Christ again. I started serving in divorce care the following February, and while helping out, I was able to fully accept forgiveness for the mistakes I made after my divorce. Unfortunately, when I started dating again the following May, it was apparent that my ability to stay pure was not there yet, and I was going to continue to repeat my old patterns, so I quickly ended the relationship. And in that fall, when divorce care started up again, I started that session committing to no dating with everyone else. Now, nearly 3 years later, in May of 2014, I'm still not dating. Choosing to not date started out because I did not trust my own ability to live a pure life and to follow Christ and all that the Bible teaches me. I could no longer ignore and twist things to suit my own desires. After the first year of no dating, I realized that my desire for sex had not changed. When I look back on the first year, it's obvious that I had been happier, more at peace, and had grown more spiritually than I had in years. I also realized that God is enough, that nothing in this world matters above knowing Him and growing in Him. I also realized that sometimes you need to have something in your life that helps you remain committed to doing what is right. Divorce care was that for me. Accountability is a powerful thing, but I needed to not just silently stay committed. And what was being asked of me as a leader and follower of Christ, I needed to share my struggle with the ladies in my community group who were committed to me and my walk in Christ. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." I've wondered very often why this scripture says to confess our sins to each other. Isn't confessing to God enough? And last summer, I realized that my silence was allowing my sin to maintain a hold on me. Because if no one knew of my struggle, no one would know if I failed. I realized that God wants us to confess our sins because doing this also helps remove the power the sin has over us. It's the biblical principle of bringing the dark into the light. It is out there in the open now, and my friends are going to be asking me how I am doing with my walk in purity. I never could hide from God, and now I'm learning to trust and not hide from His people. So, can we have a sexually pure life? Yes, but not apart from God and not apart from His people. Following hard after Christ, God desires that we know Him, and He will never let us go either. Romans 8:38-39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My journey to live a pure, single life started with a desire to please God because of what He has done for me, but I expected to do it alone. God, in His wonderful love and mercy, pushed me to confess my failures to others so that I did not have to do it alone. It started in a Bible study last summer and continues today through the love and care of my community group. He does not want me to do this alone, and He continues to keep me on the path of authenticity. I joke sometimes that I am here to show people what not to do, but maybe I'm here to show people what lengths God will go to show us His love. And I encourage you to get to know and trust Him in all areas of your life and to let Him write the rest of your story. Thank you.